This is The Thirsty Developer, episode number 7 for January 7th, 2008, the Facebook Developer Toolkit. Welcome to Thirsty Developer. I'm Dave Bost.
And I'm Larry Clarkin.
So it's 2008. Welcome to 2008, Larry. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you too, Dave.
And Happy New Year to all of our listeners out there. So we took a little bit of hiatus, a couple weeks off there for the break, and we're back at it with some more Thirsty Developer podcast.
Yeah, Dave, I'm really excited, looking forward to some of the great shows that we've already got lined up in the can, but also to recording some new ones.
That's right. I mean, this is our seventh episode, and there's been a little, you know, some stumbling blocks here and there, but, you know, we're getting the hang of this, and we're actually enjoying it, so hopefully the listeners, you guys are enjoying it as well. So, you know, with that, actually what I'd like to say is that if you guys have any recommendations of any podcast episodes that we should be doing or people who we should be talking to, certainly, you know, let us know. Send us an email at thirstydeveloper@live.com. Okay. So with that, actually, you know, we're kind of change the format a bit before we get into the interview and actually kind of talk about some of the stuff that we're going to be doing upcoming here in the next month or so and some of the events that both, you know, Larry and myself will be attending or Larry or myself will be attending. And with that, I guess, Larry, you're going to be in Indy soon. Is that correct?
Yep. On Thursday, January 10th, I'll be down at the Indy NDA user group down there doing a presentation that I'm calling Programming in the Cloud, Tapping into Internet APIs.
Cool. So when I say Indy, I mean that's Indianapolis, Indiana, for those people that aren't quite aware of that.
Yeah, not like Indy, Arkansas.
So great. So you're going to be the, doing the talk of the user group there. And actually, while you're doing that, I'm going to be on Redmond attending a little train-the-trainer session on some mobility development. So we're going to have some mobility, kind of a little road show going on in the Midwest District, being, you know, sort of Illinois, Indiana, Wisconsin, coming up in the next couple months or so. So keep an eye on that as well. Also, coming up on February 1st, we got the Sleepless in Chicago event.
Yeah.
What's that all about?
A lot of people have probably heard of Sleepless in New York. It was an event they had last September. It was done with, partnered with Infusion, which is a consulting company. It's part training and part contest and all about SharePoint.
Right. So so where can people go to actually find out more information on that?
If you go to infusion.com/sleepless, and it's actually taking place in like 6 or 7 different cities across the U.S. leading up to the Office Developer Conference next month.
Right. Great. So actually, you know, we're kind of talking, you know, we're planning this event, the Sleepless in Chicago event. And as we found out, this is actually taking place over Super Bowl weekend. But since the Bears are kind of pretty, you know, they're out of the playoffs, right? They didn't even make it to the playoffs for that matter. I'd rather talk SharePoint anyways, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, even though it's over Super Bowl weekend, we're gonna try to do something fun around that. Whether or not, you know, we have our own little Super Bowl party around that or we kind of just, you know, end the event on a Saturday or what have you, we'll figure something out there. But definitely check that out, Sleepless in Chicago, if you're into SharePoint, and, you know, check that out. Also, we got the Mix conference coming up that, Larry, you'll be attending.
Yes, I'm going to fly down there on Thirsty Developer One, and hopefully when I'm down there, I'll catch up with some good you know, podcast with some folks down there.
Great. And then, you know, I was going to attend the Mix conference. However, I kind of, you know, passed on the Mix conference so I could attend South by Southwest, which is actually butting up against the Mix conference. So I'll be down at South by Southwest in Austin. So if there's anybody down there that wants to get together, you know, for drinks, conversations, what have you, we'll have some podcast equipment with us. We'll record some shows. You know, let us know. Send us an email at thirstydeveloperlive.com. All right. So that's it for the upcoming events. There's a couple more announcements I want to make, actually, is we have, you know, this whole idea of Thirsty Developer, right, is kind of learning and sharing knowledge with one another, right? And one of the things that we want to do is kind of bring sort of, you know, these live events out to the different cities that we cover as part of our jobs as evangelists at Microsoft. And one of these events that we want to do is something called Thirsty Developer Live. Essentially what it is we want to bring a hands-on lab roadshow to a city near you. So we're actually in the planning stages of getting together some hands-on labs, you know, all around Visual Studio 2008 and .NET 3.5. And, you know, essentially keep an eye open for that. We don't have any firm dates yet, but we're in the planning stages, and we're going to be bringing that to the different cities. And so just keep an eye on thirstydeveloper.com for announcements around that. And then one last announcement, Larry.
This is a fun one, right?
This is the fun one. So, you know, the Zune, right? We're both big fans of the Zune.
I've had a Zune for quite some time, Dave.
Yeah. I had one of the early iPods, and I have to say that I, you know, use my iPod pretty much on a daily basis. And And once the Zune 2 came out and they added podcast support to the Zune 2, I've been pretty much haven't touched my Apple iPod ever since. And so we kind of wanted to share this excitement around the Zune, and we were going to run like a little contest here. Is that correct, Larry?
Yes, sir.
So what we did is if you go up to ZuneOriginals.net, you can actually order a Zune and get kind of like custom engraving done on the back of it. You can do like a custom message, or they have some pre-canned art that will get laser etched into the back of the Zune. So what I did is I kind of was checking it out, and I said, you know what would be kind of cool is let's get some custom graphics put on there and a nice little message about Thirsty Developer. Let's order those up, and let's give those away to our listeners.
Wow, sounds like a great gift.
Yeah, absolutely. So what we're going to do is we're kind of going back and forth here, trying to figure out, what's the appropriate contest to have to give away these Zunes. So we got a few of them, and what we're going to do right now is we're actually going to give a Zune away to basically answer a question and send us an email with your response, and we'll draw from a bucket, if you will, and of the right answers, and kind of pick a winner and announce it at the next show.
Great, Dave. So what questions do they answer?
All right, so, we just had these install fest here, right? We gave away Visual Studio 2008, through the user group communities, where we get together, we gave away free product, had people bring their laptops, install Visual Studio 2008, and give them a copy of Visual Studio 2008. Visual Studio 2008 has essentially released a manufacturer, means it's available today. However, it's not really officially released. We're actually going to have a combined release or launch event around Visual Studio 2008, SQL Server 2008, and Windows Server 2008 coming up shortly here. So the question I have posing to all the listeners out there is, when is the official launch and where is it taking place for Visual Studio 2008, SQL Server 2008, and Windows Server 2008? So when is it taking place and where is it taking place? So send an email to thirstydeveloper@live.com with your answer, and we'll combine all of the right answers and put them into a hat or what have you, and pick one winner to win a Zune 80 with custom artwork etched on the back with a little message from Thirsty Developer.
So, Dave, I think some people might be confused because we're going to actually have a number of launch events after the first official one. So maybe I could give them a little hint to go someplace to look for. That'd be okay?
Right, absolutely. Yeah, so what I'm talking about is the official launch event. We'll have some sort of, smaller launch events, taking place across the world, essentially. So, Larry, what is that hint?
Go to heroeshappenhere.com.
Right.
And that's here as in H-E-R-E, not H-E-A-R. You're listening to a podcast, so I want to make sure people aren't confused.
So heroeshappenhere.com.
Yep, that's the official website for all the launch information. But the official one will be on, the first launch date will be on there. Check it out.
Yeah, so that's a great place to go to check out, all the different launch events taking place. And what I'm asking for is the official launch. When is it taking place and where is it taking place? Send your answer to thirstydeveloper@live.com, and we'll pick a winner and announce it on the next show.
And what should the subject of the email be, Dave?
What should we say? I want a Zune. So just label the subject matter, I want a Zune, and submit it with your answer, and we'll pick a winner.
Sounds great.
Okay, so with that, let's get into today's interview. Today we're going to be talking with Ryan, John, and Kevin from Clarity Consulting, and they're going to be talking to us about the Facebook Developer Toolkit.
I'm a big fan of Facebook, Dave.
I can honestly say that I haven't, I'm on Facebook, you're on Facebook. Wouldn't you like to be on Facebook too? But I honestly don't necessarily get Facebook. I mean, there's only so many vampires that come after me and sheep hurling that can go on.
Well, and that's one of the most interesting things about Facebook, in my opinion. I think it's a great social network where I can just connect with people. But the fact that they've opened it up as an application platform, I think, is one of the most interesting things about it. And yes, there are some applications that, are not too fond of. If anybody sends me any vampire invites, I'm going to just like freak out on you. So don't do it. But there are some cool applications where I can compare movie taste with you, Dave. I can look to see what music that you like, do all kinds of interesting things like that, that Facebook themselves probably couldn't have time to implement them all.
Right.
But now they've got this great ecosystem of developers doing it for them.
I guess when I was talking to Kevin at Clarity, and I'm not sure if it's in an interview or not, but he kind of cleared it up somewhat for me. It's essentially Facebook is a collection of your contacts, if you want to think of it that way. So if there's a way that you want to communicate with your friends or just have a one location where you and your connections exist, you know, that could be it. And then you can use that for whatever purpose you deem necessary. Some people deem necessary that they need to build vampire, vampire quorums and sheep hurling contests and everything else. But other people actually use it for, business contacts or just keep it in touch with their friends.
Cool. Should we listen into what the guys from Clarity have to say about developing applications on the Facebook platform?
Absolutely. So let's listen in. So this is Dave Bost. We're at the Clarity Consulting in downtown Chicago. We're actually at the Moss Camp, right? And actually, we're not talking about Moss in particular. We're going to be talking about Facebook Developer Toolkit with Clarity Consulting here. So if we can just kind of go around the table and kind of introduce yourself, who you are, what you do, and then we'll kind of get into talking about Facebook Developer Toolkit.
I'm John Schuster. I've been here at Clarity for a few months now, and about the last month or so, I've been maintaining the Facebook Developer Toolkit.
Great.
I'm Ryan Powers. I'm a principal at Clarity. Been with Clarity for a few years, and I was the original developer with Kevin Marshall on the Facebook Developer Toolkit.
Okay.
So that's our topic today.
I'm Kevin Marshall, and as Ryan mentioned, I worked with him on developing the original one. I did most of the work, so that's why I'm in this call.
That's right. You guys can battle it out then. So Facebook Developer Toolkit, what exactly is the Facebook Developer Toolkit?
So the toolkit was an idea that came from the Visual Studio Express team at Microsoft. They were really looking at Facebook as a platform that was growing and really getting a lot of interest in the community. But with hobbyist developers, that most of the interest was really on the PHP side and a little bit on the Java side and not a lot on the Microsoft side because there wasn't support for how do you leverage the Facebook platform from Microsoft.
And okay, so the idea is that Facebook kind of opened up this development platform and people are building different kinds of applications for this Facebook developer platform. So you guys kind of saw a need that, let's provide something for the .NET developer to tie into this, this thing that's going on.
Right, and so at the time when we started the project, it was really just an API and it wasn't really what I think of as the Facebook platform yet.
Okay.
And so the original sort of idea was just wrapping the API, building sort of a client library to make building .NET applications, whether they're ASP.NET or Windows applications that just want to pull Facebook data in, that we're just trying to make that easy. So for a hobbyist developer, non-pro, try to make a very easy interface that they don't need to understand the inner workings of the Facebook API and the REST calls and all of the sort of complexities that go around with authentication and that sort of thing. So
it's interesting that you mentioned REST because I think most .NET developers are familiar with like WSDL-based web services. Really quickly, tell us what's the difference between REST and WSDL.
So basically what REST is in this particular instance is just you're posting to a URL and you're posting some form variables that tell the API what method you're calling. So like maybe a get friends method, and you're also posting a couple other things like what session you are, what application you're calling from, and your response is just a formatted XML string. It's no SOAP, no kind of object model. It's just you post to a URL, you get an XML response. And so that XML response is in a structure that you can expect. And so you can kind of parse it out and you can look at it, but there's no WSDL where you get like a very specific structure. And so there's kind of pros and cons. So the reason why they do it that way is just to kind of make it as easy to use from any technology. And so you don't need as a Max and some of the built-in things to make it easier for using WSDL.
Yeah, so it's a much lighter weight protocol, but you give up things like the auto discovery, where you can just go out and reference a WSDL and, get the proxy class generated for you automatically.
Right. I mean, and in this case, like when you're using WSDL, you get like a lot of the serialization into objects and things that you can sort of get for free, whereas on the REST API, you sort of have to take on the parsing of the XML and really sort of understanding what you're getting back because it's going to be sort of like you were saying, less discoverable and you got to do a little bit more work. But from an interoperability cross-platform, it's kind of easier to use. And so that's why Facebook is going that route right
okay,
now.
Okay, so the Facebook Developer Toolkit, what is it exactly and how does it help the .NET developer? If I was a .NET developer and I want to take advantage of it, what would I need to do? Or what could I do with it, I guess, is the more important question.
So I think of it still in sort of two phases. The first phase is pre what they call the F8 platform. And this is what we've been talking about so far, which is really just making calls to Facebook. That's authenticating a user and then pulling in data about that user. And so as a developer, I can reference that in a Windows app, or I can reference that in a web app. So okay. I make an instance of our service. I pass in a key and a secret, and then I can start making calls.
That's what authenticates you with Facebook to utilize their services.
So the application key and session authenticate your app.
Okay.
And then whoever came in to use your app needs to be authenticated. So you're going to make calls in the context of that user. And so you identify your application, and then your user is going to be presented with a way to put in a username and password. And then I'm going to start a session on behalf of that user in the context of my app.
Okay.
And then I can make calls, and I can get things about that user, like I can upload photos, I can pull in photos, and the REST API side, the toolkit was really intended to just make that easy. Okay. You don't need to worry about what's the XML structure. You don't need to worry about where are the REST URLs. You don't need to worry about encrypting the post, so in the way that Facebook is going to authenticate the post and make sure that you can make calls, all of that's going to be handled for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to get back entities or data objects that represent the XML that you're going to get from Facebook. And so now I call get friends. I get back a collection of friend objects, and I can say friend.name, friend.address. And so the programming model, instead of me having this XML string that I need to know the structure of and look at and kind of parse through and figure out how I'm going to parse it, now I just get objects.
So when you mention like the friend object, I mean, those are types that you've got in a namespace that's part of the developer toolkit, right? And if I understand it correctly, you know, the only thing that I have to do as a developer is actually create a project in Visual Studio and reference the Facebook developer toolkit, and I can be up and running, you know, just in a couple of minutes, right?
Yep.
Tell me about the types of projects that you can do this with, because, I mean, naturally you would think that a web project, because Facebook is an internet application, but you could also use this for rich client applications. You know, maybe if you wanted to, you know, create a really, you know, nice, you know, WPF-based interface that, you know, pulled information from a wall. Right, Kevin?
Right.
And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, because once we start talking about the platform and the F8 platform and how that changes what really are the types of applications you can build and makes gives you a lot more integration points. And so I think it's important to just understand like the base sort of mission of the toolkit and what that REST API was. And in that space, you can build a desktop app, whether it's WPF or WinForms, and you can access data. The limitation is that they don't give you contact data. So like somebody's email, you actually don't have access to the wall through the REST API. And so there's limitations on really what can you look at. And so you can build some apps. Like we build a sample app that pulls in your Facebook list and saves them as Windows contacts in Vista, or uses Bluetooth and sends them to your phone, which is interesting. And we built an Outlook add-in that uses the toolkit to pull them in, and which is interesting, except that an Outlook add-in that doesn't include email address is kind of not as useful. And so so you can build a standalone web app, but it really gets a lot more interesting when in May they released the Facebook platform, which allows you to build web apps that actually reside within the context of Facebook and give you a lot more integration points into somebody's user experience on Facebook itself. And so that was sort of what I think of as the second phase of the developer toolkit.
And we've seen some pretty interesting apps come out of that that initiative, right? Such as things like throwing sheep at one another, or some other ones.
I get about 10 vampires invitations per day.
You know, I think I got kicked in the groin several times last week. You know, those kinds of applications, right? So I guess, you know, that's all fun and fancy free. But what are the kind of, you know, where are we going with this? What kind of applications can we build? What, I mean, what do you foresee?
The sort of best example of an app that has a lot of use on Facebook and to me sort of fits a lot better on Facebook than it would outside is an app called iLike. So we didn't build that. That was sort of released with the platform. And what that app is a way for you to basically share sort of music with other people. And what that is what concerts are my friends going to? What concerts are coming up? What musics do my friends listen to? And so I've always personally found it hard to sort of keep up with what concerts are there coming up and friends go to concerts. And I'm just like, how would I have ever known about that?
So I think before we get ahead of ourselves, let's step back a second and talk about Facebook itself and sort of the structure of it, right? So you talk about, what concerts are my friends going to? But what is the sort of how do I find that information out? So one thing is I set up a Facebook profile, but then I have friends groups. What is that exactly?
Somebody want to take that?
Yeah, I guess the whole idea is basically it's a social network. So you set up your user profile, and then when you know other people who are on Facebook, you can connect to them. You ask to be their friend, so it's called on Facebook. Usually it's actually your real-life friends. It doesn't really have to be. But then, so you connect with them, and you can see their full profiles. And there's also what they call the news feed. So when you first log into Facebook, you see the news feed with just a bunch of items about what your friends are doing lately. So you might see something like so-and-so updated their profile. They put in a new picture. And then there's also things about what they've been doing on these applications. So like for the vampire application, might say they've sent 10 vampires to somebody recently or something. Or for the iLike application, might say, this person went to a concert last weekend. See what other concerts they're going to next week.
Or they plan on attending a concert coming up.
Exactly, yeah. You can see what events they are planning on attending. All that sort of thing is in that feed that you see when you log in.
So it's one of these social applications where it's connecting people with other people. And right. Now you got to sort of take that concept, and what can you do with that, right? Mm-hmm. It's things like, hey, I like this song. I think you might like this song too. Check it out. And you kind of send that information along to them, and they can discover different items such as that. And like you said, Ryan, is, hey, I'm looking to go to this concert, join me, that type of thing.
Right. I mean, and so Facebook uses this term called the social graph. And so that you look at a picture that starts with one person and you look at all of their friends and then all of those friends, and you start to like have this big sort of intertwined circle. And when you talk about distributing things, whether it's an app or information on that network, that it's sort of like a virus because one person, and it goes to their friends, and it goes to their friends. And
wait, isn't this called the 7 degrees of separation from Kevin Bacon or something?
it's very similar to that, really.
No, I've heard that term used quite a bit lately, the whole social graph. So it's connecting people with other people, and how do you connect with others through your friends or through your acquaintances and such. But it's going to be interesting to kind of see what the kinds of applications that you can build from that. Kevin, you used a great example with me, in our discussions the other day about, taking these offline communities like .NET developer communities and these little code camps and such and bring that onto Facebook to try to connect up with people and to both, get them involved in the event but also get them notification that the event is existing. And I think you might be interested in this. Check it out.
Sure. I think one of the greatest features of Facebook as far as adding the platform functionality has been the ability to integrate other applications into it. Like my friends can use Delicious or Twitter or a lot of other social networking items that all have APIs. And everything that they do gets put into the social feed, and the social feed is a list of actions that all my friends have taken. So if Dave adds a Delicious bookmark or Ryan adds a Twitter message, I see all that in one consistent feed, and it's a good way for me to keep up on stuff and see what events people are attending, what blog posts people are reading, what different bookmarks they're looking into. So that's one, I think, big benefit of the platform, being able to add that functionality into Facebook that probably otherwise wouldn't exist. I think the one thing that hampers Facebook, though, is those other applications like Dig or Twitter have made all their data available to get pulled out of their own platforms into something new, while Facebook hasn't necessarily made that same data that they hold accessible out to other platforms. So like Ryan mentioned, the contact information, not being able to pull that out, I can see some good reasons on Facebook's perspective while not adding that sort of limits the usefulness of pulling data outside of Facebook, and everything really kind of remains locked into Facebook.
But I saw a demo that you did the other night, the .NET user group, where you did pull data out. Is it just that they're not giving you all the data, or they're just getting some of the data? What is that exactly?
Yeah, so you can get data about users, and you can get their interests and their hobbies, but you can't get their address, and you can't get their email address.
So not all of the data is coming
and
through.
And so it's all about privacy. And so Facebook has a lot of policies around what will they allow you to know about other people. And so that's... they've kind of gone back and forth around what that is as far as what is their responsibility for privacy. But that's why some of that data, which would would make you able to build some more interesting things is not available.
Sure.
And so that, like Kevin was saying, it kind of results in the Facebook being the end platform.
Right.
And so all these other feeds are able to come into Facebook, but then Facebook is sort of the end result. And now I can build apps that kind of run inside there, but I'm not going to pull out and know all of the stuff about my friends and build an email campaign list to those people or something like
that. Okay. So what I've seen so far is that there's a couple ways to build Facebook type of applications. One is kind of external to Facebook, and which we saw with the Facebook Developer Toolkit, where I can create, you know, a WinForms app or even a web application, utilize the Developer Toolkit to get access to Facebook data and then pull it and bring it into my application. But there's also the opportunity to actually have these applications hosted in the Facebook platform itself. So when I go to Facebook.com and I go log into my profile, I can have these applications run within the same web page or the same context of my logged in user. So there's really two different types of applications and maybe even more. But the question I have is, so if I'm running in sort of that context of Facebook on their web page, do I have access to all the data because I'm running within their platform at that time? Or am I still outside the platform? It just looks like I'm running in the platform.
You're the latter. So it looks like you're able to render within their platform, but your access to data is exactly the same. And so what it comes down to is you're hosting a page or a service that Facebook can call out to, and you can render a page.
Okay.
And so whether that page is, I don't know how much detail we want to get into on how those Canvas pages work, but so the new model or the platform model, they call them Canvas pages. And so you're building a page that sits inside the Facebook website. So somebody's navigating around Facebook, they can get to your page. They still have the Facebook header. And there's two types of Canvas pages. There's an iframe type and an FBML type, which stands for Facebook Markup Language.
Okay.
And in both cases, you host something on your own web server that Facebook has a URL to call out to, and you render your page back. And whether if it's an iframe, you're just rendering regular HTML.
And with an iframe, you're actually running still on your own server. Right. It just shows up in the page inside the Facebook page.
Exactly.
But it's not running on Facebook system.
Right. And for the FBML, I like to think of the FBML as you're basically building a web service that returns FBML, which is some Facebook-specific tags and HTML tags. And Facebook will take that and render a page on your behalf.
Okay.
And so but the idea is on your server, when Facebook calls to you, you still use the REST API to sort of build the context of, so if Larry is accessing my site and I want to show him his friends on my Canvas page, before I return my response to Facebook, I call the REST API just the same way as I would have for a standalone app. And so all that stuff that's in the Facebook Developer Toolkit is still helpful, because I can sort of still get the context. And I now have a bunch of more points where I can update his profile based on what he's doing on my app. I can write to his feed. And now I sort of have a lot more integration with his experience. But I'm really just calling the REST API the same way as I was before. And so I'm really no different than a standalone app, other than the user's experience is very integrated. And I have some integration points for having my app be more visible for them when they're using Facebook.
Okay. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, and I think we sort of got way beyond it, but to kind of bring it back to the developer toolkit itself. So if I'm a .NET developer, what do I need to do to take advantage of this toolkit, and how do I build a Facebook application as a .NET developer?
So the initial one was if you're building a standalone app, you just reference this Facebook service, and then you can call the methods and you get back strongly typed. It'll handle the authentication for you and all of that. And so then it becomes a lot more interesting when you talk about, well, okay, now I want to write Canvas apps. Does the Facebook toolkit help me? Does it not? And it does. And so...
So just real quick. So the toolkit itself is essentially a library, right, that I would just reference in my application. Exactly. And then I can just call the APIs for that library that then serializes those calls out to Facebook itself to pull the data back.
Yes.
Okay.
And then for the Canvas pages, the hardest thing about building Canvas pages is the sort of handshake between Facebook and your page. Whether the person has added your application yet, whether the person's logged into Facebook, who are they? That whole concept is really the toughest part about writing a Canvas page. And so we have both a master page and a base page that you can use that will handle that for you. So if you take your code behind and instead of referencing page, you extend iframe base page, now your iframe canvas app will handle all that authentication for you, and now your app will just appear.
Okay.
And so that you don't need to worry about, how did they tell me who the user is? How do I know? How do I check whether they've added the app before? How do I know if they're logged into Facebook? Those, all those kinds of things, that's kind of the key. And so you still get all of the REST API wrappers that are in there, and now you get these extra features that allow you to build a canvas page but not worry about the plumbing or the handshake that you need to have with the Facebook server.
Okay, so I myself am kind of getting confused between the whole iframe canvas page versus just having me my own, you know, client application I'm building. So does the developer toolkit help me build all those types of applications? So just kind of walk back, we can either have, you know, I can build a simple client application that goes and pulls all my friends and their pictures and it runs on my desktop on my machine. And there's the other types of applications that looks like they're integrating directly inside a Facebook webpage at Facebook.com. So the toolkit helps me build those different types of applications, correct?
Right.
Okay. So when you talk about the canvas, you it's almost like a, you can kind of think of it in a sense, it's almost like ASP.NET. Essentially, it's rendering markup language, and that markup gets then rendered into HTML on sort of Facebook side.
When your canvas is an FBML canvas page, then that's true.
Oh, canvas is kind of the space where the application lives. It either can be an iframe, where it's just essentially pointing back to your servers and serving up an HTML page, or you inject, I guess is the word, FBML inside of this canvas on Facebook's page.
So I wouldn't say you inject FBML into the canvas. Because
it sounds non-security constricted.
But,
right?
But it's really like, because the canvas isn't sort of rendering FBML. Their server's going to get your FBML back, and they're going to translate it into HTML.
Sure.
that your browser. And so you're just responding with a structured response.
So they're
going to render it for you.
Okay, so they're essentially hitting your server, and you're just responding with this FBML
right. That
then they will bring back and sort of run within their context on the page.
Right, and the reason why you would do that rather than the iframe is just because you get a lot of things for free as far as an integrated look and feel with Facebook. And so having a page that looks like it's part of Facebook's site and has like a friend selector or like all the Facebook pages have and has tabs that look like all the other Facebook pages have. And so instead of you trying to view the source on the other Facebook pages, see what the style sheets are and try to do that all yourself, now instead you have a FB tabs and I can build a tab structure and it's going to look just like the tabs look on all the Facebook pages. And so now my page really feels like part of their site,
right?
And I didn't have to do anything.
Right. So, I mean, it's amazing, you know. So when did they announce the whole F8 platform? Was it like back in May of 2007? Was that right?
Yeah, I think it was May.
Yeah.
So Kevin says it was June, but yeah, so we were actually there for, Kevin and I flew out to San Francisco for the launch of the F8 platform, and it was a very unique and cool experience to be there.
Were you guys a part of the launch, or did you just want to just participate?
Well, so the Facebook Developer Toolkit was released the same day, and so that was the original thing, that there was going to be this big launch of the F8 platform. And so Doug Handler from the Visual Studio Express team, who was sponsoring the Facebook Toolkit, he wanted us to be there so that they had this big hackathon. And so they had catered and DJs and all sorts of stuff that people were there all night. There was this big competition for building apps. And Doug wanted us to be there so that if anyone wanted to use the new toolkit to build, if they wanted to do ASP.NET, that we could be there to help them and to show them how things worked. And it was cool because up until that point, the offering for using Microsoft technologies for building Facebook's apps was just not up to par with PHP and Java, because that's what Facebook was building.
Mm-hmm.
And so the response that we got from the people who were interested in building Microsoft apps at that time was really good, because they're like, oh, this is great. Now I got strongly typed objects, and now this is a lot easier for me to do. And now like I could conceptualize this and I could start doing it. And so we were updating our toolkit that night for somebody who wanted to take advantage of a new function that was just part of the platform that we didn't know about and things like that.
Right. For a .NET developer, it's like they understand the .NET, right? So they understand that part where they can you know, utilize these libraries and they understand the concepts, as opposed to having to learn a whole new API to call against Facebook and figure out how to parse the data that's coming back. You've already taken care of that work for them. It's just a matter of them calling methods against objects and getting objects back.
Right.
So it makes it a lot easier. So what was it like? I mean, were there people utilizing the toolkit that night at the hackathon?
So there wasn't a lot, but there was some. And
it was probably a surprise. People weren't expecting it.
Yeah, I mean, there was people there that wanted to. There was people coming up into the Microsoft booth and saying like, "Oh, I want to do ASP.NET. How do I do it? What can I do?" And so we were trying to help them, and it was good. And so like it sort of got a buzz going. And after that event, like obviously after that event, that platform launch got tons of buzz, like in the industry,
right.
A bunch of Wall Street Journal articles, and everyone was just talking about how it was sort of revolutionary, this concept of people writing apps that run on somebody else's website. Like to me, it's like the definition of Web 2.0.
But is it revolutionary? I mean, it's just an iframe, right? So you're not really running on their website.
Well, the FBML part is
right. But it's
more interesting. And from an iframe perspective, you're able to be integrated with their site because you're also calling like their REST API, and you're able to be like a lot more in the context of the site that you're on.
Right. So
none of that's new, but for a site like they called it the anti MySpace because MySpace was going like the exact opposite, where they were very closed off and we're going to build whatever functionality we think there should be, and Facebook said, we don't think we can build whatever anyone wants. And we think we're a lot better off saying, like, you guys go build what you want and run it on our site. And we're going to get more traffic. We're going to give you great distribution channels for your apps and those kinds of things. And so it was interesting.
Right. And like you said, the buzz is just amazing. And this, the number of applications that people are building so quickly. You know, the things like I like is kind of one of the Cinderella stories of this whole thing, I think. And I forgot what it was, but as soon as they released, I can't remember what the ramp up was, the number of users, but essentially they had millions of users within, I don't know if that was days or within a week or what have you, but it's probably become one of the more popular applications on Facebook.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, and so the end of the story from the Facebook developer toolkit was because of the buzz and because of how many people wanted to be writing these apps, and people were sort of excited about what we had, but they wanted more, and they wanted better support for some of the platform features, and so that's where we started the CodePlex site. And so
CodePlex site, okay.
And so we, with a couple of guys from Microsoft and us here who wrote it, we said, well, we need to keep up, and so we need help from the community. We need to get a lot of feedback, and so we have a CodePlex site, and it's been a lot of fun because just like writing something and you post it and you get 1,000 downloads like the first day.
Can you explain the CodePlex site for listeners? So some people who haven't heard of CodePlex before, what is it exactly?
So CodePlex is basically just an open source community. So it's Microsoft's site, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is for sort of supporting open source projects related to Microsoft technologies.
Okay.
And so
So it's essentially a website that allows you to host open source projects. It runs on top of the Team Foundation platform, and so you get source control and the work item tracking and discussion list.
Yeah.
So essentially, you host an open source project on there and invite the community to participate in this project. And so the Facebook Developer Toolkit is one of these projects on the CodePlex system.
Yep. And so we got a lot of links from Facebook's developer site, where they're trying to help people to direct them how to write Facebook apps, over to our CodePlex site. And we got like a lot of traffic and a lot of feedback and a lot of people trying it out and trying to build Canvas apps. And so it's been like pretty steady ever since. So the last, 5 months of that, of people. We just released version 1.3 this week that Jonathan was primarily responsible for, which included just a bunch of enhancements and bugs, fixes, and but it's been fun.
Cool. So Jonathan, 1.3 of the Facebook Developer Toolkit, what are some of the new enhancements in the toolkit you want to talk about?
Mostly it's been some pretty small enhancements. For a little while, most of us around Clarity didn't really have time to update the toolkit and that sort of thing. So a lot of it was just sort of keeping it up to date, making a few maintenance changes. One of the big changes was, Ryan mentioned a little while ago, the master pages for Canvas. It used to be just you had the Canvas base page, so every single page in your application you had to subclass the base page and then put in all your data for your API key and your secret and all that. You had to kind of do a little bit more work on each page to get the authentication running. So now with the master page, you just create one master page for your whole site, put in your authentication data there, and then if you just reference the master or create each of your other pages from that master page, then the authentication is all kind of done in one place, which makes it a little easier.
Would you say that's the hardest part for people to wrap their arms around, is the whole authentication piece and the whole secret keys and everything?
I guess I'd say that's one of the two hardest parts. It's between the authentication, and also I think people have a hard time grasping the whole thing of, if you're integrated with Facebook's platform, yet it still kind of calls out to your server, it does some things on your server, and then your server returns like the FBML or some other rendered HTML or something back to Facebook. You'll kind of have a hard time grasping, okay, what actions are happening where, at what points during this whole process.
Okay.
Yeah, so that the master pages and the base pages handle a lot of that for you, and so a lot of the questions and discussions where people struggle, that so on our Coblex site we have a lot of discussions, and a lot of the questions that come up are related to that for people who for whatever reason either don't know that those base pages exist and are trying to kind of do that on their own, and that's like where it can be hard or frustrating. And so that's the point of why we put it into the Codeplex project,
right,
is to try to eliminate that part, which is when they're calling me, what's the request going to look like? What's in it? How do I know who it is? How do I know if they've added the app before? How do I authenticate them and make sure they're
right?
Logged
I mean, that's the whole idea of having a toolkit or even an API for that matter. It's kind of wrap up all the complexity. Make, you know, everybody's going to be doing the same thing. Why reinvent the wheel, you know, 1,000 times? So you just provide this sort of library structure for them. They can utilize it, takes care of the complexity for them, and now they can utilize the skills that they have to take advantage of this platform. Great. So kind of I'm still stuck on the whole Facebook itself, right? So John, I know, you know, you're a big fan of Facebook. I mean, you just graduated school how long ago?
Back in May, so I guess that was months ago.
You're recent grad, so Facebook was one of these things that, you know, became popular on college campuses, and they just recently just opened it up to us old geezers like myself, right?
Right.
And so, just what is the aura of Facebook?
It's hard to say, really. It's a bunch of things, I guess. Partially, I think it's the fact that just, like, you keep those connections with friends. Like, I got into Facebook, I'd say, probably my sophomore year of college, and at that point, I kind of started losing touch with a lot of my high school friends. Everyone's split up across the country, don't really talk to them as much anymore. Then you can put them as a friend on Facebook and kind of see what they're up to and that sort of thing. Sort of keep in touch a little better that way. And just, you can have those connections still with friends that you haven't seen in a while, and there's that, I guess that's just one of the
keeping in touch essentially.
Information. Yeah.
And then also finding people, you know, they have this whole concept of groups, right? So you kind of find people that have the same interests, same likes, that type of thing. And
right.
That's a good way to meet new friends as well as to maintain your old friends as well.
Yeah.
So I like it because it's, you know, becoming the de facto social networking platform. You know, whereas every other site you have to, you know, if you want to maintain, you know, several different social network presences, you have to go to each one of those individual sites. On Facebook, I can include my Twitter messages. I can include my Flickr photos. You know, it's becoming kind of the central place that you go, and all the other social networks are just like plugging into it.
Great. So, you know, so if somebody wants to, you know, get more information on the Facebook Developer Toolkit, where should they go?
So the best place to go is the Codeplex site. So codeplex.com/Facebook Toolkit.
Okay.
The only other thing we didn't talk about, a couple interesting things are, we do have in the toolkit, we have a sample of using Silverlight on Facebook.
Okay.
And so we did some work, and that kind of goes along with the iframe canvas page, but using Silverlight and leveraging the toolkit. And so we have a sample about how to do that. And so obviously building a Silverlight canvas page opens up some interesting sort of scenarios and some things that wouldn't be possible in another language or with other technologies.
As a matter of fact, you showed a demo the other night. Could you explain that demo?
So the demo that I have, which I've demoed a few times, is I took the Silverlight Surface demo, which is like out on silverlight.net, And
so the Surface demo is kind of the thing where it simulates the Surface table, where you're kind of looking at a flat display and you can manipulate, images, pictures, videos, that type of thing.
Yeah, so you have a bunch of images. You can resize them, move them around. And so I took that demo and just updated it to pull my photos out of my Facebook album. And so to say, whoever logs into this particular application can look at their Facebook album on this Surface-like display. And so on Facebook side, I have all my album. I can move it around and kind of create I was originally planning to kind of build a scrapbook kind of application. So to say, I want to build like a collage maker out of Facebook, and haven't finished it yet. But that was kind of like my first step, was to say, can I get my Facebook photos onto a Silverlight Surface?
Right.
And so there's a few hoops that I had to jump through, because I can't reference the toolkit directly from Silverlight, so I need to proxy the calls through a separate web service that's using the toolkit. But all of that information is on the CodePlex site. I have a blog article about it. But it's essentially, you need to, from Silverlight, call proxy web service that uses the toolkit and gets your data and then returns it to Silverlight in JSON serialized objects. And so the objects that you get from the toolkit are not JSON serializable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to you have to translate them into JSON serializable objects. But it definitely makes some interesting opportunities.
Okay, we'll be sure to put that link in the show notes for the blog post to get some information on that. But it was a very interesting demo. But the idea is, you know, we have this Facebook platform, and it's, you know, let's utilize something like Silverlight to sort of enrich the user experience. In this case, you're using one of the existing Silverlight demos to just integrate it directly. It's something simple enough to do,
right.
And actually very compelling, you know, demo as well. And you know, just it's one of those things that kind of wows people in the capabilities that they can do.
Right.
So great. I guess what are some of the other interesting applications you're seeing on the Facebook platform? Let's take it this way. What are some of the top applications that are utilizing the developer toolkit that you can think of?
No idea.
No idea? You don't know who's using what?
Not so much. Seems like people are still kind of getting started with it to some extent. You know, mostly we've been trying to just help people get familiar with it and try to figure out the ins and outs of the whole Facebook thing. Like Ryan said, at first Facebook was mostly based around Java and PHP, and so this is kind of our attempt to just introduce all .NET developers to the whole Facebook platform. So I think people are out there working on their apps and everything, but I guess we don't really know of any really well-known apps that are out there published.
There are a bunch. Like I know that there's some very serious users who use it and who have their apps and who are using different parts of the toolkit to do it. I don't have any way to know what they
right.
are.
Right. Nobody's come back to you about what you know, applications are built with the
mm-hmm.
toolkit. But there's been, you know, a number of different people downloading the project from CodePlex, and it's just a matter of finding those people out. So hopefully,
for a long time, it was a top 10 project on CodePlex, which we were pretty excited about. It was like number 8 on sort of the most popular sites. I think it's like in the 12, 13 area now.
Okay.
We were shooting for the Ajax control toolkit, but it was pretty unrealistic. But that one has about 10 times as much traffic as any other one, but it was always like the star in the sky.
Exactly, the one to shoot for, right?
Yeah.
Great. So anything else you guys want to add about the toolkit, about what you're working on, the Facebook itself? Are you guys Facebook, are you addicted to Facebook at all, John?
I used to be to some extent. Once I get out of college, I know a few less people use it. It was definitely more of a college thing, I think, since that's where it started. But I still use it a pretty good amount. Partially, again, to keep in touch, see what all my friends from college are doing now, since they're all split up across the country and everything. And I'm checking out all these new applications and everything, too, using those. It's a good way to just spend a little bit of time and just relax or whatever. Waste a bit of time if, you know, coming back from a stressful day, just play some Rochambeau against somebody or whatever. So, yeah.
So what was that Red Bull Shambo?
Rochambeau. Essentially rock, paper, scissors. It's sponsored by
So another fabulous application running on the Facebook platform.
But it's cool because you can you have a number of credits, and I can bet you say, let's play for 20 credits, and then it sort of has an Ajax-y sort of interface. So
is this legal by any chance?
This is questionable. In most states, it's
not
legal.
In this country, Dave.
So you can essentially, you know, bet your friends on who's going to win the next rock, paper, scissors challenge.
Right. And so you have like a best two out of three kind of competition. Mm-hmm. So last night or the other night when we were presenting, I challenged John so that all the people in the room could see and I lost. So I was sort of bitter.
But
close game.
another one of the, like I said, fabulous uses of the Facebook platform. But hey, it's, you know, people are using it, right? They're installing the application inside their Facebook profiles. It's getting tons of, you know, sort of buzz around, you know, Red Bull is one of the sponsors of the application. So it's just, you know, it's amazing to see that, you know, you can build an application, just throw it up on Facebook, and all of a sudden you get, you know, thousands, if not up on millions of people utilize this application. I mean, before, the typical applications that you build, you would never even, you know, how would you reach that many people, right? It was just, you know, nearly impossible. So fabulous. So I don't know, any parting words, any words of advice if we want to start building these applications besides download toolkit? So like you said, go to codeplex.com to download the Facebook Developer Toolkit.
Yeah, I mean, so on that site, obviously you can get the source code, you can get the binaries, and there's documentation with some sort of walkthroughs of very simple, if you want to do a standalone, if you want to do an iframe canvas. So it will pretty much handhold you through like getting started and how you set up a developer account and all of those things. So it's intended to make it easy. So don't be, I guess my parting words is don't be overwhelmed, that it can kind of be confusing at first, but it's really not. The whole purpose of the toolkit is to try to demystify that, or I guess said better is to just not make you need to know it all.
Right.
So to make it sort of really easy for you to say, I want to get something up and running, so let me, I don't need to understand all of the different nuances of building these apps, that I can, with a few very simple things in me as an ASP.NET developer that I'm used to doing, I can get it working.
Right. So, and if they do have problems, that's what the whole discussion boards on the Codeplex project side is all for, is just to have an ongoing conversation about, you know, how to take advantage of the toolkit and, you know, work through the issues and work to really together as a community to really build something impressive.
Yep.
Right. Yeah. So great. So Ryan, John, Kevin, I mean, I appreciate you guys joining us for Thirsty Developer.
Thanks, Dave. Right.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks, guys.
So Larry, you ready to run out and start building your Facebook applications now?
Ryan makes it sound really easy to, you know, get started and, you know, get up to speed and, you know, start building the next great Facebook app, doesn't he?
Right. So I mean, you think about it. The Facebook Developer Toolkit is, it takes all the complex goo that you need to communicate with these Facebook APIs and really wraps it up into a nice little neat package for .NET developers. So it's pretty interesting. So, I mean, I'd recommend everybody going out to Codeplex and checking out the Facebook Developer Toolkit project and then get involved.
So, Dave, why don't we do that? Let's get going.
Exactly. Add that onto the plate of everything else we need to do, right? All right. So, once again, you know, thanks everybody for listening. What I want to say is just, you know, send comments, feedback to thirstydeveloperlive.com. And, you know, let us know, you know, how we're doing, you know, what we're doing right, what we're doing wrong. You know, we'd like to hear back from you, and also some recommendations on some upcoming shows you'd like to see or actually listen to, I should say. I don't think me and Larry are ready for video just quite yet.
No, we have a face for podcasting. I can tell you that.
That's right. So once again, just send feedback, thirstydeveloper@live.com, and also comment on the shows at thirstydeveloper.com. And with that, we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to The Thirsty Developer. For more information, visit thirstydeveloper.com. We'll see you next time.